The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the second and third chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing that what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave it to some of his disciples, his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the chosen one is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' And then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' And they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, in name of our Creator and our Redeemer and our Sustainer. Amen. I spent the week before Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C. at the Festival of Homiletics. Now, homiletics is a fancy word for preaching. So let's be clear, it was a week of sermons. And some of you are groaning, "No way, ugh." But truly, these are sermons from some of the very best preachers in our time. And it was a fantastic week as 1,700 of us immersed ourselves in sermon after sermon, all under the theme preaching and politics. One of my favorite sermons came not from a preacher, but actually a politician. And there are plenty of jokes that we could insert right about there. Right? Let's just leave it right there. So Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey joined us for one afternoon, and I listened from the side balcony of the Metropolitan AME Church, a church with a history the likes of Frederick Douglass. And I listened from that balcony, leaning in, as Senator Booker told us about Miss Virginia Jones. Years ago, during law school, the now senator wanted to immerse himself in a neighborhood to really engage. And so he moved into a rougher area of Newark, New Jersey, and he looked around at his new neighborhood. There was drug dealing, and there were rough patches, and there were folks on the corner. He'd been told to find this woman, named Miss Virginia Jones. And so he found her on the fifth floor of this public housing complex. And so, with the swagger of a Yale law student, Cory Booker sought her out, and he knocked on her door, and he offered to help. As he tells it, she eyed him with a skeptical, cynical eye, a look that said she knew that he was perhaps more truly the one in need of help. And then Miss Virginia Jones took Cory Booker back down those flights of stairs and outside. "Before you help me," she said, "you need to tell me what you see in this neighborhood." And he looked around at the rough patches and he analyzed them at arm's length, the housing crisis, and the violence, and the drugs, and the poverty, and the school-to-prison pipeline, and the hopelessness. And that's when Miss Virginia Jones turned and walked away saying, "You can't help me. You can't help me." But he stuck with her, pleading respectfully. Finally, she relented. Boy, you need to understand that the world you see outside is the one you see inside. See love and possibilities and the face of God. Then you can be one of those people who help me. See decency and mercy. Then you can help. So in the children's message a few minutes ago, we talked about that young man named Samuel, the call of Samuel. Samuel, Samuel, God calls, not once, not twice, but four times in our reading from the Hebrew Bible. And the first three times Samuel hears his name, he thinks that it's Eli calling, and he rushes to Eli's bedside. And that final time, with Eli's coaching, Samuel stays put, listening for God's voice, saying, "Speak, your servant is listening." We so often focus on Samuel, but thank goodness for Eli. Thank goodness for Eli. Thank goodness for his wisdom, his perception that it was actually God calling Samuel. Thank goodness for his experience. He's the elder priest who has faithfully kept his promises, even as his own sons, some of whom are priests themselves, have stirred up all kinds of trouble. Life is messy, isn't it? Life is messy. Thank goodness that as his eyesight has grown dim, his spiritual hearing has grown sharp and clear, very clear. Thank goodness that Eli is humble enough to hear what comes in the verses that follow. For God isn't pleased with Eli's house, and Eli is able to hear the truths that Samuel must share. Thank goodness for mentors and coaches and advisors and teachers and counselors and guides and friends who help us hear God's call more clearly. Who are those people who come alongside you and help you hear that the word of the Lord is for you? Who are your Elis? For Senator Cory Booker, Miss Virginia Jones did just that. For me, it was Mary Graves. She was the one who said to me when I was in eighth grade, a bit of a Samuel, I suspect, "You should really think about being a pastor." She was my friend's mom, and our families camped together, later cabined together, every single Memorial Day weekend forever. That's how it was, a Memorial Day weekend. And back then, she was a busy parent of four, and she was a nurse, and she was all about justice, especially in Central and South America. She sang in the church choir, and she taught my Sunday school class for a season. And she casually, pointedly named my calling as one day I washed tables and chatted after a congregational dinner. Mary acted for me as Eli did for Samuel. Mary reminds me of many of you. Who are those people who come alongside you and help you hear that God's calling is for you, is for you? This week, a chemistry grad student told me about her high school chemistry teacher and then her college advisor, a whole parade of people who are Eli for her. People who have helped her listen to God's call to use her smarts and to use her passion to become a chemist, a faithful, deeply rooted chemist. This week, it was a similar conversation with a musician, an amazingly skilled musician, living out his calling, his vocation in the public schools of Minneapolis. So who comes alongside you? Who helps you hear God's voice? And it might be easy to assume that Eli's are always older and Samuel's are always younger. Don't get stuck in that paradigm. Don't get stuck there. It's limiting, and it's just not true. It's our four-year-old who is quick to invite our family into silent prayer. She's also the one who remembers to mark the cross with her soft little hands on my forehead as I tuck her in for bed. She is the one who does that so often. This four-year-old at my side helps me hear God. Not so different than my nine-year-old, similar to our children and our youth group and the 20 and 30-somethings in this community as well. They, you all could be called Eli, walking alongside, helping each one of us hear God's word. So I've been asking this whole time, who comes alongside you? Who helps you hear God's voice? But then flip that question, for whom are you an Eli? For whom are you an Eli? What is your role of listening for God and helping others hear God's call? There's an openness, a trust, a grace in this role, naming what you witness and what you sense and what you hear. I know, how can I be this? I can't be an Eli, you might be wondering. How can I be Eli for those around me? To the people of Corinth, Paul writes, we have these treasures in clay jars, in earthen vessels. And that's right, Paul doesn't say we have these treasures in these super rare, special golden bowls. But Paul says we have these treasures in common, everyday clay jars, fragile and resilient bodies, yours and mine. That's who God uses to love this world and to open possibilities, earthen vessels, you and me. So when our bodies are strong and when they're not, when our mental health is a struggle, when we are weary and when we are worn down, we are reminded again then that this treasure, this wisdom, this power of Christ Jesus is held in clay jars, in simple bodies, as humble as the one to your side and as extraordinary as the God who searches us and knows us, who knit us together in the very first place. God is at work in you, and God is at work through you. Quite often, it's the mortal at your side who can help you hear God's calling most clearly. So that neighborhood that Senator Booker moved into 20-some years ago as a Yale law student is the neighborhood that he lives in still today. And back then, without knowing, he held it at arm's length, but now it's his community, and in it he sees love, and he sees potential, and he sees the very face of God. In a more recent shooting that killed a young person, he grieved again, but he grieved personally, and he grieved close up. And Miss Virginia Jones, remember her? She felt that grief for this young person as well. And her tears for this young person mingled with the tears for all the others who had been killed over the years, and mingled with her tears for her own child who had died years before. And so finding one another in the hours after that shooting, both feeling raw, both in tears, standing outside that very same public housing complex, Miss Virginia Jones wrapped Cory Booker in this giant, giant hug and rubbed his back. And in all that grief, in all that memory, in all that love, and all that hope, and all that loss, she repeated a mantra of sorts. As they embraced, stay faithful, she said. Stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. Dear people of God, this week and this summer, in the joy and in the grief, and whatever it is that you do that heeds the call of Christ, and however it is that you walk alongside others, stay faithful, dear ones. Stay faithful, for life is at work in you. Amen.